Well, welcome back everyone to Racecast. Do you know, this week is the first week that we get our first car launch.
It is.
Which I could have gone to, not going to lie. It's the Williams car launch on Valentine's Day.
You have let us down here, to be fair.
Not me. I have a friend, he hasn't got very much hair, who works very closely with MyProtein. He got invited to go to the car launch to meet the drivers. I would have gone with him, but he can't go. So that kind of, they didn't want just me. So sort of a...
Weird that.
Yeah, it is weird actually. But welcome back to Racecast. You might be thinking, it's a little bit quiet. Well, it is. Oh, watch this out of battery.
20 past 8 in the
20
morning.
Past 8 on a Monday morning. It's dark outside. It's grim. It's just...
Just like your normal...
British Monday morning, really. But wherever you're listening to us, do give us a 5-star rating. If that's on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, we really appreciate it. And it helps the podcast out a lot. And listener numbers are growing. That's like one thing that people can't see. It's like we've since like last summer, we've like 3-4x'd our like average listenings. Which, thanks if you're new. If you're watching us on YouTube, if you're new on YouTube, if you've been watching us before, please make sure you like the video, comment down below, because we love it when you engage, particularly the comments. If you don't like the video, don't like it. Even drop it a dislike if you really hate it. It really does not keep us up at night. But we do love the comments, so please do get involved. Anything we say that you think is stupid or actually really agree with in a weird parallel universe, then please do. If you're new here, welcome. Don't subscribe just yet. Watch along, see if you enjoy it, and then get involved. Join the party, and you can comment down below as well if you're new. I think that's pretty much all we've got to waste your time for an intro.
What was that? Oh, I'm glad you said intro. I thought you just said that's
it. Yeah, no, and that's it. We'll catch you next week. What we should say is that there's a week that we're not going to be here in a couple of weeks. We're taking like 1 week off before the season starts, and yeah. I think it's the week...
It's the final week of February.
Yeah, so it's the week of testing, and we'll then be back to review testing, because testing isn't until Wednesday anyway.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
We upload on Tuesday, so it doesn't matter anyway. It's not like you're not going to get testing content. So make sure you follow us on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. Just search Racecast. You'll find us. You'll see our faces.
You're taking a while to wake up this morning, aren't you?
It was a friend's birthday on Saturday. So we were away for the weekend, like Friday, Saturday night. And number one, you never sleep like as well when you're not in your own bed. And we're on a blow-up mattress, which is absolutely fine. But like night number one was like exceptionally cold. I don't know why, but like I was really cold like the whole night. So like that kind of kept me up. And then like we went out on Saturday night, and then you just never sleep well. So I'm kind of tired.
Typical. Right. Would you like to know what's coming up on today's episode? We're going to be talking Mick Schumacher. We've got the FIA considering...
There's no way he's still in the news.
He is in the news. The FIA considering to shut down off team radios. We'll be talking about that. Bernie Eccleston on Lewis Hamilton. Joel returns to Ferrari as a reserve driver. Verstappen, will he stay at Red Bull and how long for? Obviously, the timings for the races this year has been announced, so there's a few little changes there which we'll discuss. RB copying some of the stuff from Red Bull, weird that, isn't it? Somebody does not like Colapinto, and it isn't Luke, so stay tuned for that.
I'm not even going there.
Charles Leclerc obviously testing last week, we'll look at that as well. We've got a hypothetical question, we've got guests, a driver, and we've also got facts which seem fake but are actually true. So
what you should do is give me like 2 real ones and 1 fake one in it.
Okay, I can do that. I've got time. But before we start, Luke, I got you a present.
Oh no.
Yep.
These are never good.
Yep. So, here you go. Sorry, it is Christmas wrapping. It is Christmas wrapping paper.
Wait, this right here is a present that you got given that you thought, I don't want that.
No, it's not. But I got you a present It's to say thank you for your hard work on the podcast.
No, I'll tell you what this is. It's this. Every time Matt comes around, right, he leaves something here. But, like, it's not something of, like, value. It's not like his wallet or his car keys. It's, like, an empty bottle or a fucking wrapper or something, or that piece of shit light that you've left here for so long. So, like, my house essentially is just, like, this really, like, for him, free, but for me, expensive storage unit. So that's all this is.
Are you being ungrateful? Look,
this is just junk that you don't want in your house.
I got you a gift.
That I'm going to have to take down the charity shop.
No, I got you a gift. Would you like me to hold your mic?
Oh, it's fine.
No. And don't say I don't ever treat you, okay?
I mean, that's not a... Look how old this is. This isn't a gift. This is something that he's dug up in a time capsule. It's David's diary. Oh, let me try and not get the light reflecting on that. You see this? Wow, I can't wait to read that.
Yeah, but read the... What is it? What's David Coulthard's?
The quest for the Formula One 1998 World Championship. How'd that go for you, mate? Not well, I can tell you, if you don't know. Yeah, no, great.
You happy with it?
Yeah, yeah. I can't wait to...
Bin it?
Oh, no, I'll give it to charity. He does look young here, though. It's crazy, like, because... I don't know, if I think of David Coulthard, like, I always think of exactly how he looks now. But, like, most drivers you can picture, like, when they were young. David Coulthard, I just, for some reason, I feel, always looked old. But this is proof that he didn't.
Mm. For you guys who are watching at home, Luke will say this is the worst F1 gift you could ever give. But I want to know...
Oh, not the worst. I mean, it's up there, but...
What is the worst F1 gift you have ever received? Do drop a comment on that.
Abu Dhabi 2021.
Okay, well, okay. Apart actual physical gift. So,
happy? I felt physical pain.
Yeah, happy?
Yeah, no, delighted, honestly. Tell you what, though, the cars...
Look at that one.
Old pictures used to hit different. Like, I'm going to show this to you so you can... You see that? Like, just look at the cars. They just... don't know. And even, like, the... I think it's, like, obviously, like, technology has advanced so much now that I feel like pictures that have this look to them just look better. It's like, you know, we've got our phones, right? And you can just take picture after picture after picture. And you don't even think about it. And everyone's phone is packed with, like, thousands, if not tens of thousands of pictures that are, A, just fucking pointless. Apologies for the swearing. Or two, you're just never going to look at again. But like, maybe you'll go around your parents' house and they're like cleaning out the loft or something. And they've got all these photo albums of like meaningful pictures that they'll go through, because you were like typically limited to like, because it was on film, you weren't going to like pump through it and just be like, oh, right, well, I'll take a picture of like this. Oh, no, take like four more. You'd be like one and done.
Yeah.
And like, I just feel like they look a lot cooler, and like, this has got that same sort of effect.
But that McLaren, the silver McLaren,
yeah,
looks sick.
Yeah, well, the like the West.
Yeah, but also you look at, you know, you've got the red Williams there, the Jordans, the Benettons. Like, cars were just different then, weren't they?
Well, like, the thing is these all have like a really, really... There's a hair there. They're all really, really identifiable by their colours. And I'd say this is, I mean, to be fair, I do feel like F1 cars in terms of liveries have got worse. But like, this new era where like we've got all the carbon, like, I think the actual cars, like, this, since 2022, the cars look really nice in terms of the shape, everything about them. But the liveries are just like cooked. These, I can't see a single piece of black on a car. Unless it's part of it, like on the McLaren.
Yeah.
Other than that, they're just...
They look cool. They look cool. Let us know, what is your favourite livery of all time?
I'm pretty sure I've said in a previous episode that this McLaren is one of my favourite, if not my favourite livery of all time. I just think it's so nice.
I wish they would come back with that. I don't mind the papaya, but
I just don't understand the papaya. That's all. I know that it's to do with like McLaren's, like, is it to do with McLaren's heritage? I've never ever in my life associated McLaren, like the brand McLaren with orange, but maybe it is.
Are you keeping it?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, cool. Right, interestingly, and the reason why that ended up being a gift is because I was clearing out some cupboards this weekend.
You see? I told you.
No, but then I was like, I know who would like that. But that's also what was interesting is I found a few bits. You know, sometimes we get called Drive to Survive fans and we've only been watching since, you know, like last year. However, I found, right, a project I did, an actual presentation when I was in year eight.
Nice.
About F1. Okay.
Who was your teacher?
I don't know. No, I don't know. So that was that. But I also want to know, did anyone ever...
Can't we look at it?
I mean, you can. I'll give it to you. But, okay, I got 7.5 out of 10 for this merit. It said, well done, Matt. Your presentation and research skills do you proud in this project. You show a very good level of knowledge of your topics and legendary Formula One drivers. Good work. See, there you go.
Well, hang on. How the hell do you get a 10 then?
I didn't. I got 7.5 out of 10.
Well, yeah, but she's not said how to improve. So I'd say that's poor teaching, actually.
Okay. Well, I still take it. That's probably the highest grade I ever got.
Doing something right. You've put a lot of work into this.
I did.
And she's then gone, you know, written like very complimentary words. Oh, this is great, Matt. Mm. Like, you know, these are unbelievable research skills. Like, great work. 7.5 out of 10. I'd be thinking, hang on. Well, how do I get a 10 then?
Yeah, no. She lied to me. But no, I take it. So I want to know from you guys, because also I found a scrapbook from when I was younger.
Yeah.
So when I used to go around my nan and granddad's, we used to do cutouts. So in the paper, they used to do things like this. They used to show up like the drivers, who they're doing. And each week, right, I used to do the results of each Grand Prix. So, did you ever used to do this?
No. But I had friends at school.
What a prick. All right. This was like the 2000s.
No, let me guess. You're going to quiz me on something.
Not going to quiz you. But just looking at the teams, this is how mad it is. And sorry, we'll get onto F1 news in a minute. But, you know, we're a bit of nostalgia. We're looking back. Arrows, Jos Verstappen, De La Rosa, BAR Honda, Villeneuve and Sonta. Do you remember Sonta?
No.
Benetton, Fisichella and Wurz. Jaguar, Eddie Irvine, Johnny Herbert. Ferrari, Schumacher, Barrichello. Mm-hmm. BMW, Williams, Ralf Schumacher, Jenson Button. Jordan, Frentzen, which you've never heard of, and Jarno Trulli. McLaren, Hakkinen and Coulthard. Minardi, Jean and Massakan. Never heard of them. Prost, Alesi, and Heidfeld. And Sauber, Deniz. Do you remember Deniz? Mm-hmm. And Salo.
I mean, just to confirm, there is an age gap between Matt and myself. I mean, what year was this?
2000.
So I was 4. Potentially 3.
I was 2. Australia, first result. This is when the old point scoring system as well, when you only got 10 points for a win. But, you know, Schumacher, Barrichello, Ralf Schumacher 3rd. It's cool. Do let me know. Did you ever used to do any scrapbooks for F1? Like, did you, if you didn't have friends like me? And also, if you did any presentations at school, what did you do? What did you do it on? Did you read it? Do you like it?
Yeah, no. I gave it a little scan. I didn't want to take the time to read it.
No. I'll leave that for you as well, yeah?
Please don't.
Okay, so let's get into some F1 news, shall we? So, Mick Schumacher has not raced in full-time F1 competition since 2022. However, he was asked about, do you still see your future in F1? And we've discussed this many times about Mick Schumacher. He said, my dream is my dream. It lives on in the moment when I have free time and I can think about it. But yes, I do see myself back in F1.
Hmm.
We've said before, we can't see him coming back into the sport. He had multiple teams he could have potentially gone to for 2025 and they did not pick him up. If you're not being picked up by the likes of Sauber, Haas, all of that lot again, it's very unlikely you're going to get back into the sport.
Yeah. You know, I appreciate that, you know, for him, he's keeping the dream alive and whatnot. But realistically, will he know? He probably knows, like, you know, he's not stupid.
Hmm.
His time is done, realistically. I don't think any team will ever touch him again if they're smart about it. And that's, you know, that probably sounds harsh. Mick was far from the worst driver we've seen on the grid.
Yeah.
I just think if you're a team that is coming in to, you know, take things seriously or whatever, you're just not going to look at him at this point. And that's fine. He had his opportunity. It didn't even go like fundamentally wrong. It just didn't go as well as it should have done. I think from that perspective, he's just not appealing to, other than literally maybe the name. But I think even at this point, it's like, well, you know, we've had the, oh my God, Michael Schumacher's son is in the sport moment. That's not going to come back. At this point, like, he was in the sport long enough to become sort of like personally identifiable without like the attachment to his dad.
Mm.
And I think it just wasn't that special.
No, and I think when you look at other drivers who are ahead of him, you know, we know we've got Cadillac coming into the sport for 2026 and, you know, Audi and all of that stuff. But when you're looking at drivers who are ahead of him, there is still people like Perez, Bottas, who would be ahead of Mick Schumacher coming into sport.
I mean, at this point, you wouldn't even look at... You would look to the F2 boys first.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure of that. I don't think Mick Schumacher cropped up in any conversation that principals were having with their inner circle when trying to fill seats.
No.
Last season.
No.
And that's, like I say, I think that's just the reality of the sport, that he just wouldn't have come into those conversations because I just don't think he showed enough when he was in the sport.
No, granted that Haas was poor, but there wasn't enough shown by him. And I agree with you on that one. And the sad thing is, you know, having someone with that name like Schumacher back in the sport was such a big thing.
Yeah,
it was because, cool. You know, Michael Schumacher was such a legend of the sport. And to have, you know, his son come in, everyone was, you know, there was even tips at the time, you know, if he has a good season in Haas, he could be the next person in that Ferrari seat. You know, there was all these talks at the beginning of where he could have gone.
Which would make complete sense, by the way.
Of where he could have gone. And unfortunately, it hasn't worked out well. But no, I can't see him back in the sport, which is a shame for him. But like you say, he hasn't done enough to warrant another seat in the sport, unfortunately.
No.
Do let us know on that. So, the FIA are considering shutdown of team radios in F1 broadcasts. So we know the FIA took away in 2022 us hearing what team principals were saying, which was a big thing because actually 2021, there were some iconic moments. However, they are considering shutting down team radios in broadcasts. And during a recent interview, the president of the FIA said, "Do we go on and then shut down the radios of live communication? Maybe. Do we delay it? Maybe. There's a lot of things that we will work on with our promoter. We are still the owners of the championship."
So yeah, he may well be like the worst guy in the sport. He's clearly like got this like power trip.
Mm.
You know, we've seen it where like he's tried to go head to head with Lewis Hamilton over certain things, even like with Max Verstappen on.
Yeah.
And it's like, just stop being a knob. Basically, like,
but I don't know what we're trying to achieve with it. You know, from a fan's point of view, okay, in 2021, we loved hearing the team principals. Don't get me wrong, it triggered a few people because you're kind of like, well, what is going on there? But it was entertainment. You like hearing radios between team principals, and drivers, engineers, all of that stuff, because it's entertainment as well. It's part of the sport.
I honestly cannot wrap my head around it. It's like, It is purely a power thing. That is it. Like, this is like, he would have seen all the backlash from fans about the driver swearing ban. It's almost like he's doing it just to wind everyone up. Mm. And it's like, this, taking the radios away, right? It barely impacts the sport. It doesn't impact the sport at all. It does, however, impact like viewership and our entertainment factor, but negatively. It's not like, oh, sick, he's trying to do this to improve it. He's doing this purely as a power play to be like, look at me, I'm the big boss. Well, really, yeah, everyone just thinks he's a bit rubbish at his job, which I would say he is.
The only thing I did not like about that comment was we are still the owners of the championship. So basically insinuating we'll do whatever we want. The drivers will do whatever we ask them to, and we own it.
But the interesting point is that all 10 teams could be like, should we just get up, leave these and just start our own?
Hmm.
And then own the rights to the whole Formula One World Championship. And, well, okay, it wouldn't be Formula One, but you know what I'm saying, the concept. Because what are you going to do about the team? So, look, having a regulatory body in charge of everything is great. Mm. Because, you know, it gives you that sort of separation of powers and everything.
Well, we saw this years ago, didn't we, with, was it Max Mosley, when they tried to, the teams were talking about having their own, going away, weren't they, anyway, doing their own separate thing.
And it's when you have this sort of stuff where it's all supposed to work harmoniously. And now they are like purely looking, I don't even know what they're looking at with stuff like this. This is like genuinely just to be like, we're in charge, we call the shots here. That is never going to end well.
The FIA just trying to ruin entertainment?
Well, no, I don't think their goal is to set out and ruin entertainment. I think it's a power move. It's purely trying to say to everyone, we're in charge, I call the shots around here.
Mm.
And I mean, it's just embarrassing. Look, how fragile have you got to be to start pulling all these stunts? Mm. Like, he's clearly so insecure that, like, he's having to really show, like, no, I am the big boss. Like, I'll call the shots around here. It's just like, that's not what anybody wants. You know, I'm happy for someone who's heading up the FIA to be like, no, look, we call the shots around here, but let's hear what people want. What do you want? How can we improve the sport? How can we make sure, you know, everything's fairer? How can we make sure that entertainment value is increasing? How can we ensure that we're getting better racing? This has nothing to do with that. This is just purely stating that I'm in charge.
And you want to work, you want them working with the drivers, don't they, to get the most out of it?
The teams should be working closely with the FIA to be improving the sport, not just having like one man think that he's bigger and more important than everyone else.
Yeah. Do let us know what your thoughts are on it. Do you think it's ridiculous? And is it a power play? Bernie Eccleston claims that Lewis Hamilton won't last that long at Ferrari. I hope they haven't just jumped in and end up wishing they hadn't. So Bernie Eccleston...
Does the nursing home know that he's out and about?
Bernie Eccleston said he doesn't see Lewis Hamilton lasting any longer than 2 years. And... Look, we know Bernie Eccleston has always had an issue with Lewis.
Well, I wonder why that is.
Yeah. Look, we know...
But do you know what? The good thing about this is Bernie Eccleston has, like, not even a 1% strike rate. So if this is anything to go by, Lewis is going to be there for 5 years and he's going to win 5 championships.
Yeah, keep going, Bernie.
I don't think the man's ever been right about anything in his life.
It is a... We don't know how this is all going to go with Lewis Hamilton at Ferrari. We know that actually, we've said before, it's great for the sport. And actually, people who have... Even, for example, Eddie Jordan came out and said he was dead against, you know, Lewis going to Ferrari. Mm-hmm. He thought it was a very bad move. However, he also said that as soon as he saw that picture of Lewis on his first day at Ferrari, he was like, I'm wrong. He said, it's class. It's brilliant.
And from a sporting perspective, we've sat here and openly said, this is the biggest risk of Lewis Hamilton's career. Because this could essentially, nothing's going to tarnish what he's done in the sport, right? He's a 7-time world champion, statistically the greatest driver of all time. On the basis of opinion, that might not be the case, but statistically true. This could, if this goes wrong, people are going to, not Lewis fans, but people who aren't Lewis fans are going to look back and be like, oh, that was a sad ending.
Mm.
So that's why it's such a big risk. He's moving to the biggest team in F1. He's partnering with, you know, a very good driver, Charles Leclerc. He's left Mercedes, which he had a great deal of success at. It could be a really troublesome move, but do I believe he's going to go there and not succeed? Like, absolutely not.
It's also a big risk for Ferrari, though, because, you know, they had relatively good consistency with Carlos Sainz and Charles Leclerc.
Yep.
They've now decided to shake that up and bring in a 40-year-old who it may work, it may not. So there's risks for both, you know, Lewis and Ferrari on this, because if it doesn't work at Ferrari, then you've also got that question of like, well, you know, why did you decide to bring in someone, you know, who's coming to the end of their career? But
the thing is, I'm not sure they'll ever be questioned on their decision as to why.
No.
But, you know, if it goes wrong, they'll definitely have to admit, well, it went wrong. But we're also quick to be like, oh, I imagine, like, it might go wrong. When has it ever gone wrong with Lewis? When has having Lewis Hamilton ever been a risk? It's just not. And, okay, we've spoken about the qualifying thing last season, which was really not ideal. And it was bad from him. But it's the only time in his entire career that we've ever seen that. And race pace was still great. So, you know, I think people just love to... People love to see a downfall. They love to... You know, they say it's lonely at the top for this reason. I don't see how at all this is a risk for Ferrari at this point in time. Like I said, the only risk I feel is that Lewis is, if it does go wrong, then it will tarnish the way that some people, not Lewis fans, look back at his career. But I think the chance of it going wrong, surely they're slim. I mean, I don't want to jinx it, but...
But also you could argue the case that actually if you're Lewis and it does go wrong, well, you're still being picked up by one of the biggest teams in the sport at so later in your career.
You still got to win 7 world championships at 2 different teams and then go and finish your career at Ferrari.
Yeah.
Come on. It's never going to go wrong for him.
No. Do let us know. Do you agree with Bernie Eccleston? And if you do... Right, Joel returns to Ferrari as a reserve driver for 2025.
And we spoke about this, didn't we? Reserve drivers the other week.
Yeah.
Didn't think of him. Makes sense.
Yeah. Obviously, he was at Ferrari for 4 years.
Yep.
Before he then went on to, as he was the academy driver, before he went on to go to Alfa Romeo at the time. But it's great. We always liked Joel. You know, he had some terrible cars. And don't get me wrong, he wasn't the best, but he was all right.
Yeah, you know, look, similar to Mick Schumacher, I will be surprised if we see him back in an F1 seat again.
Yeah.
But also similar to Mick Schumacher, he certainly wasn't the worst driver. No. He never really did anything to be like, okay, actually, this kid deserves a seat. But then, you know, I'll back your point. He never really had the tools to be able to show, especially last season, which was, you know, not either of the driver's fault. Like, that car was obviously just...
And to be fair, he was the only one who actually picked up points in that stake team anyway for last year, where we actually, one point, didn't think they were going to score any points. But look, you know, for Ferrari, it makes sense. He's going back to a team that he knows well.
Yeah.
He knows how they run. He knows how they function. So yeah, it's perfect. And having that experience, he knows the Ferrari engine anyway.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, it's a win-win really for Ferrari, having that experience.
Agreed.
Max Verstappen has reportedly given assurances to Red Bull that he will remain until the end of the 2026 season. It is understood that his future is far from certain, which we discussed before. He's got a contract until 2028.
Yeah.
There's a lot of... reports that actually Aston Martin had offered him a $1 billion contract.
Yeah.
But he's apparently given assurances to Red Bull that he will stay until the end of 2026. As we said before, for me, this season is massive for Red Bull. If they have a stinker of a car and they don't continue to make progression and they get left behind, if you're Max Verstappen heading into the new era of regulations and everything, do you look at it and go, well, actually, I need a fresh start somewhere?
No, you see, I tell you why. That's why this season is kind of irrelevant for them. I don't think 2025 is a big season for Red Bull. I think 2026 is. 2026 is going to determine whether they keep Max Verstappen or not. 2025, look, they've just won, championships on the bounce in this new era. Four on the bounce for Max Verstappen. If they have a poor season this season, it's really not the end of the world. Look, we're moving to a... well, we can call it a new era of cars. It's sort of a... it is a new era of cars, but like in the same manner of what these cars are. We know that Red Bull can do well with this style of car.
Mm.
If 2026 they come out and they're back fighting at the top, well, Max Verstappen is going to continue on at Red Bull, right? Despite Red Bull could have the worst car on the grid this year, right? But if they come out in 2026 fighting at the front, Max isn't going anywhere.
Mm.
Unless he's really sold on a project elsewhere. And let's say it's Aston Martin. Aston Martin would have to be at the top at this point as well, because he's not going to then leave a Red Bull team that is fighting for P1s to join an Aston Martin team that is maybe, you know, getting P5s, P6s. So I don't think he's... realistically, Red Bull are not going to be winning the championship this season. I think based off what we saw last season, and with particularly McLaren, but we've also got to look at the development of that Ferrari towards the latter end of the season. Although I know how it can be towards the end of the season with people putting development budgets elsewhere. I think I would be surprised if Red Bull are the team to beat next year. But when you've got Max Verstappen driving, you just never know. Like, you could, you know, he could be the person to beat. They might not be the team to beat. So I think next season doesn't matter. Or this season does not matter. 2026 will be pivotal to whether Max stays on at Red Bull.
No, and that's fair.
And I think that's probably why he said, you know, he's given his assurances till the end of 2026. Red Bull rarely miss it. They rarely miss the mark. You know, 2010, four championships in a row. Okay, they weren't always there in the turbo, when the turbo hybrid era came in. But they eventually got there.
Mm.
And they were normally always third fastest. They then progressed into second fastest when Ferrari dropped off. And then they went on to win a world championship. And then a new era of cars come. They dominate it again. So, granted, they've had personnel changes. But I don't see why you wouldn't back Red Bull at this point in time.
No, fair point. It's interesting, isn't it? Because there's been a lot of reports about, you know, obviously, 2023 was such a strong year for Red Bull. And Adrian Newey came out last week and said about, you know, he started to see the decline in the car. But obviously, for Max, he was kind of...
he balanced it out by being so good.
Yeah. And he was kind of hiding those, you know, downfalls in some aspect. Although Sergio Perez was basically highlighting those very, very early. But the Red Bull...
Perez was highlighting them when the car was good.
Yeah, it's true. But the Red Bull car is a very, I'd say out of all the cars that are on the grid, that Red Bull car is really hard to grasp whether it's, because Max Verstappen takes that car to another level. It's very set up as a very aggressive, a lot of oversteer, which works well in Max Verstappen's favour. For other drivers who are pairing up with him, it's a real struggle. And we've seen that over the years. And that's why when you look at these cars, they're very heavily designed to Max Verstappen's strengths, and that's why the second driver seems to always struggle, because they don't have that, not quality as such, but they don't have that.
Well, everyone's got their own driving style.
Yeah,
and I mean, if you've got someone like Max Verstappen, why are you not going to build the car to sort of his specification? But you know, it'll be interesting to see how Liam Lawson goes up against him, because you know, if he is so highly regarded and he is as good as, you know, Liam Lawson is very confident about coming into Red Bull. I'm keen to see how long that confidence lasts when he sees how good Max Verstappen is in the same machinery, because I reckon it could be pretty soul-crushing pretty quickly.
I agree. Mercedes, they obviously had their launch last week, their partnership with Adidas.
How sick is the merch?
And I have to say, I'm pretty gutted it's now a year when we, you know, we're going to Ferrari as such. But the merch looks sick. The link up with Adidas just looks epic.
Yeah.
As you said, the merch is just 10 out of 10. It looks brilliant.
It's cool.
The race suits look class. But I want to know, and this is a question for you guys at home. If you're a fan of a team, okay, and you go, say for example, you're a Mercedes fan.
Mm-hmm.
Do you just wear Mercedes clothes and that's it? I'm a Mercedes fan, that's what I'm wearing. You know, like a football team, if you're a Liverpool fan, for example, you just wear Liverpool stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Or are you a fan that actually goes, I'm a Mercedes fan, but I actually really like the merch of Red Bull or Steak or whatever, and still wear...
I'll tell you who else has got nice merch. The RBs.
Yeah.
It looks sick.
Yeah.
No, it's a good question, because part of me wants to say, I think you actually kind of just wear anything.
Mm.
And, but then like the sort of like diehard fan inside me of like, you know, just sports. And I love the sort of like, the culture of like, no, that like you like them. That's all you do. Like, you know, I would never go out and buy a Chelsea shirt because I thought it looked nice or something. But F1, I do feel like it's slightly different. It's not as, what's the word I'm thinking of? I can't think of the word. But you know where, like, football, for example, is very much, like, you're part of, like, this cult. Like, no, we are only Liverpool. We are only Arsenal. F1, I just feel like, is a little bit more different. You know, you don't get, like, fights in the stands. If you had a football game that was mixed crowds, carnage. There'd be blood everywhere, teeth flying out. But like, F1's a lot more civilized.
Yeah,
you don't have that, and I feel like that sort of spills over into the fact. Well, you know, like I wear a hat of any team. We've got Ferrari, McLaren, Red Bull, Mercedes. But I mean, I guess technically at the moment I'm a Ferrari fan. Mm. But yeah, kind of. I don't know.
It's interesting.
I don't think there's any set rules. I don't think it's like football where it's so like religious, where it's like, like imagine you went to a Brighton game, and you're in the Brighton end, but you turn up in your Man United shirt because you're like, oh, I quite like this.
Yeah.
You have like burgers pelted at you.
It wouldn't work, would it? It's interesting. Do let us know though, because obviously when I went to Belgium last year, it was really interesting. So you'd see, for example, a Ferrari fan walking around with a Lando Norris cap, or, you know.
Now that's one thing. Like, can you mix and match? Right. I feel like you can wear any merch you want, right?
Yeah.
I feel like it's that kind of sport. Not sure you can wear like a Ferrari t-shirt and a Red Bull hat. I think that's crossing the line.
I would agree with you on that one, yeah.
It's like the F1 equivalent of a half and half scarf.
I hate those.
You just don't wear them.
Do let us know. What merch do you wear? Do you wear the merch of your team you support, or do you just wear the merch that you actually like?
Okay, you know, I think I'm going to look at investing in that RB quarter zip.
It does look good. You know, the McLaren stuff, you know, all the stuff they've done with Hollister and stuff, some of the hoodies, yeah. And that it looks good, it looks decent. So yeah, do get involved, do drop a comment and let us know. So Roman Rusenov, do you know who he is?
Should I?
Right, he competed in the FIA World Endurance Championship.
Thought it was going to be like a fan that had commented or something. No.
And he's had his say about Franco Colapinto. And he said, his results have never lived up to expectations. He makes a lot of mistakes. Unfortunately, he doesn't seem to learn from it. The hype around him is not justified.
Sure that wasn't me? Look, I know we've had this argument before, and I'm not going to stir the pot again. But, like, I do agree with that point. Whether you like it or not, does it mean I want Franco Colapinto to come in and flop? Absolutely not. Like, I want to see him do well. And I love the fact that he's got such a strong, loyal fan base. And I would love nothing more for him to prove me wrong. You know, I get absolutely nothing out of either of them. If he proves me wrong or proves me right, like, I'm still going to sleep like a baby. But I still don't quite see the hype around him as such. He didn't do anything spectacular in that Williams.
For me, the reason why I think I'd love to see him back in the sport is he's interesting. I know there's a lot of things where people go, oh, he didn't deliver it or whatever, all of this stuff. But for me, I found it very impressive that he came in, he was chucked in after Logan Sargeant got dropped and was like, barely spent any time in an F1 car and was like, go and perform. And he did. And I'm confident as how young he is, he could come back into the sport, give him a full season, and he will deliver. So but I'm a bit different in the sense of I don't think
he came into Williams and didn't deliver.
No.
I think he did.
But this the comment here is that he made a lot of mistakes. Unfortunately, he didn't seem to learn from them. He's never lived up to expectations. Well, he's a young guy, and actually, I would say he did live up to expectations, yeah. And actually more, because our expectations was he was going to flop when he came in.
I wouldn't say, yeah, that he didn't live up to expectation. I think the hype, at least the public hype around Colapinto, only occurred after he started racing. Mm. You know, I think him coming in, there was no expectation from us as F1 fans. My point is a little different, that I think the hype that exists after him racing for Williams is a bit over the top.
I see where you're coming from with the amount of teams that he was linked to, Red Bull and all of these bigger teams.
Yeah, and I was just thinking, like, okay, like he certainly did not do a bad job. He did a good job. Mm. But did he do a job that, like, absolutely blew me away? No. But look, he's young. And realistically, he's going to get that Alpine seat pretty quick. Poor Jack Doohan is you know, going to lose it.
Well, interestingly, you're talking about that. Firstly, do let us know about that comment about Colapinto. But
try not to just abuse me in the comments again, please.
Alpine are already comparing Colapinto and Doohan's performance. Obviously, it's not looking good for Jack Doohan. It's just not looking good for him, you know. And I saw an interview of him. He was at this gala or something the other week, and he was like, "No, I'm pretty confident. Yeah, I'm not. You know, I hear the noise, but it's not causing me much pressure. I'm confident I can go in there and deliver." I mean, all the stories that are coming out is he's under pressure before he even starts in Australia.
Yeah, but ultimately, every single driver, especially new drivers, are under pressure.
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily think it's too different to anyone else's situation. It's no different to, like, Bortoletto's or Liam Lawson. You know, I'd argue Liam Lawson is perhaps under more pressure going to Red Bull. I just think it's the fact that, like, we've got this person there that's kind of, like, got a target on his back. Like, he's just waiting for him. And for Jack Doohan, it's kind of like he does have to excel in order to not lose his seat.
Mm.
And, you know, that's why I want him to do well. I don't want him to do well because I don't want Colapinto to get in the sport. I'd love to have Colapinto, like, in a race seat. I just don't want it to be done in a way where Jack Doohan is never given the proper chance.
Which I think is a fair point. Fair point. Right, Charles Leclerc set the fastest time in Pirelli's tyre test in Barcelona last week. And I've seen a lot of clips about this, about, oh, look, he's already schooling Lewis Hamilton and all of this stuff. He's not. It's the fact that actually, at least Pirelli tyre tests, and I don't know if you've seen some of those comments, a lot of posts were like, oh, worrying times already for Lewis Hamilton, Charles Leclerc. Like, I think he was 1.7 seconds quicker at one point. What you need to understand is actually they're all on different tests. So Pirelli set each driver and each team different...
Well, they set the programmes, don't they?
Different programmes for what they want to achieve over this Pirelli test. So obviously, Charles Leclerc, he did 74 laps. His fastest was a 1:14.9. Oscar Piastri was second with that, 0.8 down with a 1:15.8. And Lewis was third with 1:16.7, which is equivalent. He did 152 laps, but that was 1.7 seconds.
Based off that, Leclerc's winning the championship this season.
He is, yeah.
He's absolutely cooked the McLarens.
Yeah.
I mean, Lewis hasn't got a chance.
It's just, you know, and I know a lot of people say, oh, you're just Lewis fans, that's why you're saying that. It's not that, but it was really interesting to see, because I saw posts being put up and they were like, oh, look, Lewis can't even handle the Ferrari.
I mean, the day before, like, Lewis was quicker than Charles, and it just quite simply means
nothing.
Absolutely nothing. Testing is going to be a lot more indicative.
100%, yeah.
At the end of the month, but we're still not going to know really until we hit like FP2, FP3, and then quali.
See, that, for me, it's not until you hit quali, because how many times did we see practice and you're like, oh, that Red Bull's looking stinky, and all of a sudden Max Verstappen puts it on pole. So
no, realistically, quali is going to be the first time where we're like, oh, okay, right, that's the true indicator. You know, testing is going to give us a good idea of whereabouts cars are.
Car that Williams is on pole. Christ, they're going to go and win the championship.
Yeah, like, do you know, like, if the Haas is fastest in testing, would you be putting money on them getting P1 in quali?
No.
Probably not. Doesn't mean it won't happen. It's just weird, like, and this is the thing, like, I go back to my point earlier about Lewis. Like, people love to make a big deal out of him, like, failing, or, you know, the fact that that's even news. In a Pirelli tyre test, like, man is slower than someone else on a programme that's been determined by a tyre company, like, come on. In the same way that when Lewis was quicker, albeit like not 1.7 seconds quicker, it was like, like a tenth or something, but like, it just doesn't mean anything.
No, it doesn't. Toto Wolff is back in the news, and he believes Lewis Hamilton's departure to Ferrari and the arrival of rising star Kimi Antonelli in his place provides an opportunity for Mercedes to reinvent ourselves. He said, I think it was right for both of us. It wasn't right for both of you. Lewis left you. You're upset about it.
It's when you speak to someone and, you know, they've just broken up with their girlfriend. Oh, shit, man. Who did it? Oh, it was mutual. Oh, so you got dumped then. That's what that means.
He said, I think when you see Lewis in his in first appearance in Ferrari, I mean, the picture in front of Enzo Ferrari's house is iconic. Lewis with his sense of style, and I've told him at the same time, us embarking on a different route, trying to reinvent ourselves with a young driver in addition to George. He's not mentioned enough. We have a senior accomplished driver that won races, and this new kid coming up. Lewis doing something on his own, something new. I think it was a refresh for both of us.
Look, I think that's a fair point.
It is a fair point. But,
they have to reinvent themselves. Because the brand now exists around this idea of Lewis Hamilton. And if you're a Mercedes fan, that might offend you. I don't mean that negatively. I just mean that they became so synonymous. And you've got to remember that Mercedes had only been in the sport like 2 years, 2-3 years before Lewis joined. So Lewis is obviously the face of Mercedes.
But we've said it before, haven't we? When you think of Mercedes, you think of Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah.
Lewis Hamilton was bigger than Mercedes. Lewis Hamilton was, as you said, the face of Mercedes for so long.
They have to reinvent themselves because, you know, they need to build more of an identity. Don't get me wrong, this does already exist, but they need to build more of an identity outside of that of Lewis Hamilton. And I agree, it's actually probably quite an exciting time for Mercedes. It's also possibly not the wrong time for Lewis Hamilton to leave Mercedes for both of them. But you're never going to be thrilled about a seven-time world champion leaving your team to go to a rival. And I don't think Toto is. I think he's probably got to put a face on to some extent, but like I say, I do think it's exciting times for Mercedes because it's a big change. They've got Kimi Antonelli coming in, who is, you know, very well thought of and highly regarded.
And we have to remember, if this works and he goes on to be the next big thing, what a move by Toto.
Then it's a masterclass. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So I hope it works out for Kimi Antonelli.
Yeah.
And realistically, we're always going to have a soft spot for Mercedes. So, you know, I hope it works out for them.
When you have Valtteri Bottas back in there, you know, you're going to have that soft spot, aren't you?
Would you kick George out to have Valtteri in?
No. Would you?
No.
Yeah, exactly. Right, hypothetical question time.
Okay, we love these.
Well, this time I thought I'd be a bit nicer to you. If you haven't seen them, go and check out on our social media the previous two. I've given Luke a bit of a hard time. The first one was pretty brutal. However, Luke, if it's the first time you've listened to us, how this works is Luke will be the team principal. I'll give him five drivers. He has to get two. He has to pick two drivers and a reserve driver. Okay, so you're in your office.
Mm-hmm.
I come in. I give you a list of five drivers. This is who you've got to pick for. Was it Martin Motors?
Well, I feel like now I've got to have another team.
Okay. Team name.
I'll think about
okay,
that.
Okay, fine. Right, so on your list, you've got And these, when I say this, these drivers are in their prime, okay? This one's a bit different. They're in their prime. Max Verstappen, Fernando Alonso, Sebastian Vettel, Lewis Hamilton, Michael Schumacher.
Oh, shit. Now that's the tricky one.
So you're two drivers. But it's, the mad thing is one of these is going to be a reserve driver, which is just mad in itself.
I mean, this is incredible. For me, like, it's going to trigger people. But for me, Fernando is the weakest person in that list.
Okay.
Right? That's not even an insult, like, because he's the strongest person in many lists. But so instantly, like, I knew Lewis was going to come up. I hadn't thought of Michael. So I was like, well, Max and Lewis, 100%.
And remember, these are in their prime. So they're not like, you know, now when you have a conversation, in their prime. All five of the drivers.
Okay, I'm going to go Lewis and Michael, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
It's purely, at this point, a longevity thing. That's the only way I can differentiate Max Verstappen to them two. Max is my reserve driver. Sebastian Vettel, 4 world championships, great. Then, you know, didn't do too well in that 2014 season. Then moved to Ferrari. Kind of did all right. Bottled it a few times. But unbelievable driver. If I had to have any of those drivers as my drivers and a reserve driver, I'd be very happy. Michael Schumacher did it for a very long time. Lewis Hamilton has done it for a very long time. Max Verstappen, in my opinion, is the only driver that is at that level of Michael and Lewis. Sebastian Vettel, like, I hate the way the shade is thrown at that man because how the career ended. How relentless was he back in those sort of 4 years at the top?
Yeah.
People forget that. But, like I say, I'm purely looking at the longevity thing. You can't not have 2 7-time world champions in your car.
So, press conference coming up, you're sitting down, your two drivers are?
Michael Schumacher, Lewis Hamilton.
Reserve driver?
Max Verstappen.
All right, let us know what if you agree with that. Going back to your point there, so you believe Max Verstappen is on the same level as Lewis and Michael Schumacher?
Personally, yeah, I do. I think he's just one of those drivers that is just so good, which really, really pains me to say. Believe me, it really does. But there's no point sitting here lying and pretending that he's not. There's every chance Max could go on to win 8 or 9 world championships. And I mean that genuinely. Again, that would really upset me. But he is just that good.
No, I would agree with you. He's...
Like I said, for me, the difference at the moment is that Lewis has done it for a very long time. Stayed consistently at the top of the sport. Michael did it for a very long time. Max just hasn't really had that opportunity yet, you know. Came in, 2016, 2017, whenever it was. Had to sort of, you know, he wasn't at Toro Rosso long. Got to the Red Bull. Then basically did very well in that Red Bull up until, you know, right now. So, yeah, I think maybe if you ask me this question in 5 years' time, I'd have to really think about what I do.
Mm. That's interesting. Get involved. Comment below. Do you think Max Verstappen is on the same level as Lewis Hamilton and Michael Schumacher? Do get involved. Right. Guess a driver.
Mm-hmm.
You're pretty good at this.
I am.
First year, 2014. Last year was 2024.
Ooh. Valtteri Bottas.
No. Next clue. He had 185 Grand Prix.
Oh. K-Mag.
Yep, well done. Right, this driver. Came first year in 2020. Last year, 2022.
His... First year was 2020.
Yeah.
Last year was 2022. Ooh. Latifi?
Well done. Yeah. It's mad, isn't it? 61 races he did.
Mm.
Right. First year, 2001. Last year, well, actually, he's still in the sport. So, 2001 was his first year.
I mean, that's got to be Alonso.
It is. Well done. First year, 2002. Last year, 2017. Do play at home.
2017. Could be Felipe Massa.
Fucking, it's a joke. It's a joke how good you are at this. Like, I don't know how you get this. It triggers me every week. I'm saying it. I try and find the hard, some of that, like, you know, really tricky one. Go back a bit. Nah, just...
What can I say?
Yeah. Is it Pastor Maldonado? Right. First year, 2021. Last year, 2022.
Oh, Mazepin.
No. Next clue. 43 Grand Prix.
20... Oh, no, because Mazepin's last year was 2021. So that's Mick Schumacher.
Yeah, well done. Impressive. It's good. It's good. You enjoy this game, don't you?
I do. Yeah. I like it because I'm good at it.
Yeah. So, obviously, as we're not in the F1 season at the moment, I always try and find something that actually try and give a bit of knowledge. What was that noise? So I did a bit of research. And you know, some teams actually do some Q&As and they say, get your questions in and we can answer some of them. Mm-hmm. So I looked at McLaren's side and they did a couple of question Q&As where people sending questions to actually understand. So I thought I might discuss them quickly.
Okay.
So one of the questions was, why can't the cars be transported already assembled? Have you ever wondered that?
Yeah, because I mean, that would make sense, would it not?
Well, the response was, on a flyaway, we have to take the car apart because otherwise it would be too long to fit in a standard flight container. Things are a little easier in Europe when we're travelling by truck and we have, on rare occasions, built the cars at the factory before putting them in the transporters. The reason we don't usually won't do that is because there are always upgrades coming and so we have to build the car as late as possible. Interesting. If the cars were built on a Monday before going to the track, it would be out of date by the time it gets to the track on Friday.
Wow, that is crazy. If you ever wondered how quick these cars are developed.
Another reason is that we rarely have power units at the factory, except at the start of the season where the cars are first being put together. Those are maintained by Mercedes HPP between the races and are delivered back to us here at the track. Interesting. I don't know. I mean, do let me know. You may go... Yeah, it was obvious. We knew that.
Yeah, but it's not obvious, though, is it? Like, if someone's sitting at home thinking, like, oh, obviously, yeah. Then, like, you're just a dick.
Another great question was, how many crash helmets and race suits do the drivers have per race weekend? And do they have favourites?
Oh, can I guess?
Yeah.
I'm going to guess that they have 10.
No, so this one was just based on Oscar Piastri. Oscar has 5 race suits. 5 sets of fireproof undergarments and 3 helmets. That's 1 fresh suit for each racing session. His helmets are set up as 2 standard and 1 set up for rain. He doesn't have a favourite race suit, or at least he's not admitting to it. The 2 standard lids for the helmets are called the prime and the spare, but he doesn't have a preference. Interesting. Not interesting. What is that noise, by the way?
If you can hear any background noise, I think it might be the... The bin men.
Why the bin? Oh yeah, that's a point. That could be. All of a sudden, if you're listening, we're looking up, and I'm like, "What is that noise?" Did you find that interesting?
Yeah.
I can do
The one I found interesting was the transportation thing.
Yeah, I mean, the helmet one wasn't as interesting, but I did like the transportation one. Before we get on to fan questions, and remember, you can get involved. Check us out on Instagram. Each week we post a thing so you can get your fan questions in so we can actually get you involved in the podcast. Facts that seem untrue but are true. Okay. Despite winning 53 races in his career, Sebastian Vettel has never won a race starting from below P3. That's 6 wins from P3, 16 wins from P2, and 31 wins from P1.
You know, that tells me that the man's got a lot of bottle.
Mm.
He, you know, starts P1, he'll finish P1.
Or P2 or P3, but not outside.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, when Seb was winning, it was pretty competitive.
Mm.
So I feel like you kind of had to be qualifying up front in order to win the race.
No, it's good. It's good. Right. During part of the 2016 Monaco Grand Prix, all five compounds of tyres, softs, super softs, ultra softs, inters and wets were used at the same time. Were used within that race.
At the same time?
Used within that race.
Okay.
Yeah, not at the same time. Really long. Really
well, I mean, that's kind of... that's probably less surprising.
Do you remember the super softs and the ultra softs?
It made it confusing.
It did. Daniel Ricciardo has more wins from outside the top three grid slot than Schumacher and Vettel both have combined.
Wow, now that's an interesting fact.
Mm.
But I mean, Schumacher just generally used to start from the front and
finish.
Mm. So that, I would say, is actually probably least surprising. But it's still an interesting fact.
Yeah. Jenson Button scored one or more podiums in 19 different circuits, but none on home soil out Silverstone.
Oh, I bet that keeps him up at night.
It does, yeah. Do let me know whether you think that is interesting or not. Right, fan questions. Oh, hang on. What's going on here?
Did you post it too early? Got to go to the archive.
Got to go to the archive. I'm in the archive. Right, so Grimsley 4. What was that? Grimsley 14. Do you think Lewis Hamilton will break Michael Schumacher's record?
What one?
Well, I'm assuming, I don't know, doesn't say.
Well, because it's Lewis's record as well if he's talking about the World Championships.
Yeah, let's just go for the World Championships.
It's just, is it wise to say yes? I mean, for me, it's that if he's got a car that is capable... then yes. I think if Ferrari have a car that is capable of winning races in a world championship, it will be Lewis that does it, not Charles.
Mm, interesting. CamDow17 said, is Lance Stroll as bad as people say he is?
No. I think Lance Stroll has just given up. Mm. I don't know, Lance was never the worst driver. He was also never the best driver. He certainly wouldn't have been in... I mean, he might have never made it to F1 without his dad buying a team. But he certainly wouldn't have been in F1 as long as he has been if it wasn't for the fact that his dad owned the team.
Yeah. No, we've always said any driver who's in F1 aren't a bad driver because you have to be a very good driver to be in F1.
Yeah.
Lance Stroll, unfortunately, and we've said multiple times, just doesn't look interested. He just doesn't look like he wants to be there.
Yeah.
And... that, unfortunately, is the downfall of Lance Stroll. I mean, we know that he is a talented driver, but if your heart's not in it and you're not, you know, willing to put everything into it, you know, the likes of Lewis, Michael, Max, Vettel, all of these people, they dedicate their life to the sport. Alonso, yeah. You know.
Well, though, don't get me wrong. Like, even if he threw everything at it, he'd never be on the level of them.
No, but he
might look like a half-decent driver more than he does.
Yeah, maybe. Alfie Knight said, would you both consider doing a single-seater experience at Silverstone for a video?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Are you paying for us?
Yeah, sort of sound.
No, I would. I've done it once, and I did it a year after I passed my driving test. I was slow. It was embarrassing. You speak to my dad, he laughed the whole way because he literally said he could have probably walked faster.
That doesn't surprise me, you know. I reckon you'd still be slow.
Mate, we still need to go do go-karting.
We do.
I don't know what's happened with that. It's kind of like just gone out the
window. Everyone went quiet.
Yeah. Well, we can just go.
Yeah, I know some of the boys will come.
Yeah. We need to do that because we need to squash this whole thing. Who's better, you or I?
I mean, for me, it's already squashed. Do you know what
me.
I mean? But...
yeah, me. That's what you're saying. Final question. If Charles Leclerc does not win a world championship, has he had a failed F1 career?
No. This is... To say that the only way you have a successful F1 career is if you win a world championship is just mental. Do you know how many people win F1 world championships? It's not many. Like, it's really not. He's won multiple races.
Mm.
He's won at his home Grand Prix. He's won at Monza in front of the Tifosi. I think even if Charles Leclerc left now, we'll look back and say, oh, he had a good career. So many drivers have so much expectation around them when they come into the sport. But only one person can win.
Mm.
You know, that it's as simple as that. So I think if he doesn't win a world championship, it's certainly not going to be a failed career. It might be something that he'll always be sad that he never did. Rightly so. I mean, why would you go into the sport and be like, I don't want to win a world championship? But nah, it wouldn't be a failed career. The same way in which Danny Ric's career isn't a failed career.
Mm.
He's got 7 F1 Grand Prix wins, or 8, whatever it is.
I suppose the only different argument with Charles Leclerc is actually he has been at a top team for potentially all of his career.
Yeah, but you can call Ferrari a top team because the name and the status, they haven't been a top team.
No.
They haven't been a top team since, realistically, Michael Schumacher was there.
I still think 2020...
Kimi Räikkönen.
I still think 2022 was Leclerc's best chance of winning the title.
Yeah, because now, if they have a championship-winning car, he's got Lewis Hamilton to contend with, not Carlos Sainz.
Yeah. And
that's not any disrespect to Carlos Sainz, it's just Carlos Sainz is not Lewis Hamilton.
And the difference in 2022, his only rival at the time was Max Verstappen.
Yeah, which, he's by now, the way, is not easy.
No, 100%. But now his battle is Lewis Hamilton, Lando Norris, Max Verstappen.
Yeah, there's more people thrown into the mix. Oscar Piastri.
Yeah. So it's
going to be...
Yuki Tsunoda.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting, but 2022 for me was Charles Leclerc's best chance of winning the title.
No, agreed.
Finally, Haas. This year, will Ollie Bearman beat Ocon in the standings?
No.
You seem very confident in that.
No, but because I am.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think... I also don't think there's any expectation. I think if Ocon beats him, it shouldn't be a case of, oh, well, Bearman needs to leave. I mean, if Bearman is, like, truly shocking, then that's different. But, like, you know, ultimately he's a rookie. If you're going to bring a rookie in and not give them time to work on their craft, then there was no point in bringing a rookie in. You know, Ocon's an extremely experienced F1 driver. Always been fairly solid. Mm. He should beat Ollie Bearman.
No, I would agree.
Absolutely no offence to Ollie Bearman. To me, he's not like an incredibly special driver. You know, like I'll use the common references of Lewis Hamilton coming into the sport, Max Verstappen coming into the sport. No one expects him to be, by the way. Like, they're like once in a generation drivers, but I'd be really surprised if he came in and beat Ocon in season one. That doesn't mean season two he can't do it.
No.
I don't think like Ollie Bearman being at the level of Ocon or surpassing the level of Ocon is unattainable. It's probably something that is almost likely to happen.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Do let us know on that. That is the end of the podcast. Hopefully you have enjoyed the podcast. And a few little different segments in here. We'll obviously be back next week for a brand new episode. And it's not long. What is it? 4 weeks now? To the first race?
Oh, to the first race. I think it's like 32 days or something.
Yeah, something. We're close. We're close to having F1 back on our screens, and I am buzzing for that. But yeah, do get involved. Do check us out on all social media, TikTok, Instagram. If you're watching on YouTube, hit a like button, subscribe if you're new. And yeah, we'll be back next week for a brand new episode. Bye-bye.